Good day, and welcome to the AMG Earnings Full Year and Fourth Quarter 2015 conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Steve Daniels. Please go ahead, sir.
Welcome to AMG's fourth quarter 2015 earnings call. Joining me on this call are Dr. Heinz Schimmelbusch, the Chairman of the Management Board and Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Jackson Dunckel, the Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Eric Jackson, the Chief Operating Officer. AMG's fourth quarter 2015 earnings press release issued this morning is on AMG's website. Today's call will begin with a review of the fourth quarter 2015 business highlights by Dr. Schimmelbusch. Mr. Dunckel will comment on AMG's financial results, and Mr. Jackson will discuss operations. At completion of Mr. Jackson's remarks, Dr. Schimmelbusch will comment on strategy and outlook. We will then open the call to take your questions. Before I pass the call to Dr. Schimmelbusch, I would like to read a statement concerning forward-looking statements. This conference call could contain forward-looking statements about AMG Advanced Metallurgical Group N.V. Forward-looking statements are not historical facts, but may include comments concerning AMG's plans, expectations, projections, objectives, targets, goals, strategies, future events, future revenues or performance, capital expenditures, financing needs, plans and intentions relating to acquisition, AMG's competitive strengths and weaknesses, plans or goals related to forecasted production, reserves, financial position, and future operations and developments, AMG's business strategy, and the trends AMG anticipates in the industries and the political and legal environments in which it operates, and other information that is not historical information. When used in this conference call, the words expects, believes, anticipates, plans, may, will, should, and similar expressions, and the negatives thereof, are intended to identify forward-looking statements. By their very nature, forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties, both general and specific, and risks that the predictions, forecasts, projections, and other forward-looking statements will not be achieved. These forward-looking statements speak only as of the date of this conference call. AMG expressly disclaims any obligation or undertaking to release publicly any updates or revisions to any forward-looking statements contained herein to reflect any change in AMG's expectations with regard thereto, or any changes in events, conditions, or circumstances on which any forward-looking statement is based. I will now pass the floor to Dr. Schimmelbusch, AMG's Chairman of the Management Board and Chief Executive Officer.
Thank you, Steve. Against severe headwinds in the commodity world, AMG generated full year 2015 EBITDA of $75.6 million and achieved a return on capital employed of 12%, despite double-digit price declines in market pricing for all key products in 2015. AMG's continuing focus on operating performance resulted in solid financial results in all eight critical materials business units on a full year basis. In addition, AMG Engineering's profitability improved significantly on a full year basis. Full year net income 2015, adjusted for one-time refinancing costs of $16.7 million, resulted in earnings of $0.59 per share. Free cash flow of $55.8 million in 2015 was the second highest in AMG's history and enabled AMG to reduce net debt in 2015 by $88.9 million, or $3.22 per ordinary share, ending the year net debt-free. We are pleased to be able to propose a full year dividend of $0.21 to our shareholders. I would now like to pass the floor to Jackson Dunckel, AMG's Chief Financial Officer. Jackson joined us on February 1st this year, and we are very happy to have him with us in our team at AMG.
Thank you, Heinz. The main headline for this quarter is AMG's high operating cash flow and ongoing debt reduction, despite the continued impact of currency and declining metals prices on reported results. As was noted last quarter, AMG's financial statements are prepared in U.S. dollars, so fluctuations in the exchange rate between the U.S. dollar and other currencies, primarily the euro, has an effect on the results of operations. For the fourth quarter, the appreciation of the U.S. dollar compared to the euro resulted in an approximate reduction of $24 million in revenue and $2 million in EBITDA. It's important to note that on a constant currency basis, EBITDA was unchanged and revenue declined by less than 1% in 2015 as compared to the prior year. Full year profit before tax increased by 38% to $28.6 million in 2015 from $20.7 million in 2014. This increase was primarily due to lower finance expenses driven by lower debt levels and lower interest rates as a result of our bank debt refinancing that we completed in May. The commodity price collapse continues to affect both the revenue and gross profit of AMG. Nonetheless, as we will detail below, critical materials continues to be profitable at these lower prices, albeit at reduced levels. It bears noting that management has been very focused on cost-cutting and mitigating price risk across our businesses where we can. This proactive and aggressive stance to cost-cutting and price risk management has enabled the company to weather this metals price storm. Segment review. Let's start with AMG Critical Materials. Fourth quarter 2015 revenue declined by $33 million as compared to the fourth quarter of 2014, driven largely by the strength of the U.S. dollar relative to the euro and very weak metals prices. The exchange rate differential materially affects our European-based businesses, namely antimony, silicon, graphite, and titanium alloys and coatings. In addition, since most of our critical materials businesses are metals processing businesses that sell material based on market pricing, any declining metal prices directly and materially impact the top line across the board for critical materials. Moving on to gross profit for critical materials, it declined by $13 million in the fourth quarter of 2015 as compared to the same period in 2014, yielding a gross margin of 12%. Again, this was due to currency effects and lower metal prices. The largest effect within critical materials was weak vanadium, nickel, and molybdenum prices. Versus the prior year, the rapid decline in these three material prices led to a reduction in gross margin of $8.8 million in the quarter, which included a non-cash lower cost to market inventory adjustment expense of $4.4 million. Excluding the impact of this non-cash inventory adjustment expense, gross margin was 15%. In terms of sales volumes, lower quarter-over-quarter volumes of ferrovanadium, silicon metal, and chrome metal were partially offset by higher volumes of tantalum and graphite. However, I do want to emphasize that despite the weak macroeconomic environment of 2015, full-year sales volumes were actually largely in line with 2014. This is a robust result, and the only real exception to that is our aluminum and our titanium master alloys businesses, which had decreased volumes due to planned capacity reductions and product mix optimization initiatives. Moving on to AMG Engineering. Their fourth quarter 2015 revenue decreased by 10% compared to the fourth quarter of 2014. However, in local currency, AMG Engineering's revenue increased by almost 2%. Gross profit for AMG Engineering increased quarter over quarter due to higher local currency revenues, improved project cost management, and product mix effects. And although EBITDA during the fourth quarter was in line with the prior year, on a full year basis, EBITDA improved by $11.7 million due to the increase in sales, which are noted throughout the year, combined with lower SG&A costs. AMG Engineering signed $48 million in new orders during the quarter, generating a 0.9 times book-to-bill ratio. Order backlog as of December 31st, 2015, was $141 million, an increase of 10% as compared to December 31st, 2014. Moving on to restructuring charges, net income in the fourth quarter 2015 benefited from the reversal of $3 million of previously recorded restructuring provisions. The reversals were mainly driven by the revision of a restructuring plan related to cost reduction initiatives. In addition, AMG recorded a non-cash, non-recurring environmental accrual of $1.5 million related to its Newfield, New Jersey site. Importantly, it bears noting that in an extremely difficult year for the metals industry, with multiple industry participants reporting significant asset impairments, AMG is recording no impairments for 2015. Net finance costs. AMG had net finance expense of $2.3 million in the fourth quarter 2015 as compared to finance expense of $6 million in the comparative period. Lower overall debt levels and lower interest rates were the primary driver of the reduction. AMG's tax expense continued to be volatile in 2015. The largest driver of the year-over-year variance relates to the changes in the valuation of the Brazilian currency. Movements in the Brazilian real, in the Brazilian real exchange rate impacts the valuation of the company's net deferred tax assets. The 2015 effective tax rate was also adversely impacted by non-deductible refinancing costs of $5.4 million, which we incurred in the second quarter of 2015. Due to the volatile nature of the company's deferred tax balances, AMG believes that the cash tax rate is a more meaningful metric. AMG paid taxes of $5.7 million in 2015 as compared to, tax payments of $6.3 million in 2014. So for 2015, AMG's effective cash tax rate is 20% as compared to 30% in 2014. AMG will continue to evaluate ways to manage the deferred taxes of the company, which are the key driver of the tax expense volatility. Capital expenditures. AMG continues to employ a disciplined approach to capital spending. Capital spending in 2015 decreased to $23.3 million from $24 million in 2014 and included $13.1 million of maintenance capital. The planned graphite expansion, as contemplated by the 40% investment in this business, will contribute to higher levels of spending in 2016. In terms of liquidity, AMG's balance sheet is exceptionally strong, and we are in full compliance with all debt covenants as of December 31st, 2015. AMG reduced its gross debt position by $8 million during the quarter, which in conjunction with its cash balance of $127.8 million, eliminated its net debt during the quarter, ending the year with net cash of $1 million. As we have stated in the past, our strong balance sheet provides us with increased financial flexibility as we explore strategic options. That concludes my remarks. I'd like now to pass the floor to Eric Jackson, AMG's Chief Operating Officer.
Thank you, Jackson. As Hines and Jackson mentioned, prices for the majority of our products were exceptionally weak in the quarter as commodity prices continued to collapse globally. Market prices for many of our products are at decade lows. We do, however, take all possible steps to manage our businesses with as little position price risk as possible and have done so successfully in a number of products. In addition to aggressively working to minimize price risk, our operating focus is to optimize working capital, increase productivity, and lower our cost structure. The result of this is that, in the context of collapsing global commodity prices, all of our business units are profitable and continue to deliver strong operating cash flow in the quarter. In AMG Critical Materials, profitability was, however, significantly impacted by falling market prices of ferrovanadium, molybdenum, and nickel, which were 47%, 48%, and 40% lower, respectively, than in the same quarter of the prior year. In particular, a 24% drop in ferrovanadium spot prices in the quarter resulted in a $4.4 million non-cash impairment during the fourth quarter. This is a price exposure we were not able to hedge. AMG Vanadium continues to be profitable, however, even with prices at these decade lows, and is extending its leading market share position in North America at the expense of higher cost competitors. the business set a production record in 2015, producing 6.2 million pounds of vanadium, and has a target to increase that further in 2016. Following record low prices in 2015, ferrovanadium prices have, however, increased by approximately 13% so far in 2016. AMG Antimony and AMG Superalloys continue to manage price volatility and working capital very effectively, although profitability was impacted in the quarter by lower sales volumes as compared to the same quarter of the prior year. On a full-year basis, AMG Superalloys and AMG Antimony both maintained strong volumes and delivered solid earnings and operating cash flow. AMG Titanium Alloys and Coatings performed substantially better than prior year and in line with our expectations. We continue to expand capacity to produce titanium aluminides and are focused on improving productivity in 2016. Our titanium aluminide business essentially doubled year over year and is expected to continue to deliver strong growth in 2016 as we deliver on and expand on long-term contracts. AMG Aluminum's quarterly results were slightly ahead of the prior year, despite relatively steady volumes. This was the result of slightly lower gross margins, offset by lower fixed costs. Management is working on a number of initiatives to further optimize capacity utilization and product mix. Although primary aluminum producers have been under pressure as a result of low aluminum prices, global demand for downstream aluminum products continues to grow. AMG tantalum and niobium gross margins benefited from higher sales volumes due to timing of shipments in the quarter. AMG Mineração continues to operate at full capacity, and as a result, full-year sales volumes were in line with our expectations. Our operational and strategic focus in Brazil continues to be on increasing mineral processing recoveries and progressing our lithium project. AMG Silicon delivered solid fourth-quarter operating results despite lower volumes as one customer delayed a shipment until the first quarter of 2016. AMG Silicon has generated exceptionally strong results for the second consecutive year, driven primarily by an effective risk management program and a clear focus on improving productivity and maximizing co-product revenues. AMG Graphite revenue increased during the quarter due to higher sales of heat insulation materials compared to the prior year's quarter. AMG Graphite continues to progress its investment in Mozambique, which we expect will be operational early in the second half of 2016. AMG Engineering's fourth quarter 2015 EBITDA was in line with the prior year, although on a full-year basis, the business significantly improved profitability and is progressing towards our stated objective to return to historical levels of profitability. Order intake of $48 million in the quarter was driven by sales of heat treatment furnaces for the automotive market, remelting furnaces for aerospace, and induction furnaces for powder metallurgy applications. Thanks to the consistently strong levels of order take in recent quarters, AMG's engineering's order backlog at the end of the year was $141 million, a 10% improvement over prior year. AMG Engineering completed its cost savings measures during the fourth quarter, which resulted in annualized savings of approximately $7 million. AMG Engineering also completed the year with net zero cost overruns as it continues to sharply focus on project cost management. Our people have, in a period of plunging commodity prices, delivered strong operating results in 2015 and are committed to sustainably improving our performance in 2016. I'd now like to pass the floor to Dr. Heinz Schimmelbusch, AMG's Chief Executive Officer.
Thank you, Eric. Following 3 years of intense focus on cash flow optimization and debt reduction, we now find ourselves with a significant available capital base and a unique opportunity to grow both organically as well as through select acquisitions. AMG's organic growth strategy is focused on certain critical materials within our portfolio that are marked by strong demand growth and or supply limitations. We have a number of projects which we have continued to develop during our austerity period and which are now beginning to progress. Our acquisition strategy is both very selective and opportunistic. We have developed a list of acquisition targets, each of which would be synergistic with our current businesses and provide incremental technology or market share growth. AMG is the result of an acquisition strategy, and we are fundamentally value buyers and would expect every acquisition we undertake to be accretive to our earnings per share. AMG expects to continue to generate strong operating cash flow and maintain 2015 levels of profitability in 2016. Operator, we would now like to open the line for questions.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. Our first question comes from Frank Claassen of Rabobank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Frank Claassen, Rabobank. Two questions, please. First, on your CAPEX, what can you roughly guide for 16, and what are your main CAPEX projects for 16, and maybe also for 17 and 18? And secondly, on working capital, you actually did a very good job on reducing working capital, but is there still room for more, or is this it? Thank you.
On CAPEX guidance, we have an internal consensus on that question between 30 and 35 million. And there are certain larger projects. One is the completion of the expansion or building of the mine, graphite mine in Africa. Working capital reduction, theoretically, our working capital reduction is geared by working capital management in critical materials and by, of course, a negative working capital in engineering. So as the engineering order intake rises, repayments occur, and that is an important factor in our overall working capital figure.
Okay, but does that mean that with rising order intake that we should see a higher working capital as well, or?
Lower working capital.
Oh, yeah.
The higher the order intake, the lower the working capital because we get prepayments.
Yeah. And in critical materials, what about that? Is there still room for lower?
I think we have reached now a level which doesn't leave significant room for improvement. We are already in working capital days in an absolute leadership position compared to the industry.
Okay. All right, that's clear. Thank you.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1. We will now take our next question from Philip Ngoto of ABN AMRO. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. It's Philip Ngoto from ABN AMRO. A few questions. First of all, maybe on the engineering division. A year ago, you still had the plan, or you were looking at options to potentially divest the business, or even spin it off and have a separate listing. Could you give an update on what you think or what you're planning with the division at the moment, or if it's still high on your priority list or not? Or I mean, the earnings have also improved, so are there also better opportunities to sell the division? And then the second question is on your guidance for 2016. you anticipate similar levels of profitability. I'm just wondering if you're also anticipating an increase in metal price, because if I look at the Q4 EBITDA, and if I add back the inventory revaluation effect, I get to an EBITDA of 14 million. Yeah, taking that very simple as a run rate, and of course there are more things to it, but that would give me wouldn't even reach 60 million EBITDA. So I'm just wondering, where is the delta coming from year on year compared to Q4? Those are my questions for now.
As regard to engineering, as I already answered the question last quarter, presently there are no plans to do any spin-offs or disinvestments. And as regard to the quarterly results,
yeah, I think the better look, Philip, is to take a look at the second half. And in the second half, we had $30 million of reported EBITDA. If you add back in simply the $6.5 million of lower cost of market, that would be a $36.5 million second half. Times that by two, we're at $73 million alone. So we're very comfortable with the flat guidance.
Okay. But, I mean, if we're comparing the second half years, the metal prices were, of course, also at a different level. I mean, if you compare, for example, the current levels of metal price, for example, vanadium prices, the current level is in line with the average of Q4. But Q3 was already a bit higher. So, I mean, there are, of course, a lot of moving parts. Just wondering, are there other things that you incorporated in your guidance? I mean, what are your assumptions with regards to metal prices?
Our assumption as regard to metal prices in 2016 is no change.
Okay, very clear. Then one other question on your strategy. You indicate that you're looking at possibly also acquisitions. Just wondering, could you give a bit more insight in, because you mentioned both vertical integrations or expanding into other metals. What are the potential? I mean, I don't know how much you are willing to share, but what are the things that you're really looking at? Are you looking towards more upstream businesses, or can you maybe mention some metals that seem interesting for you, and what opportunities you see in there?
Well, we have 9 business units, and in each of the business units, there are industry consolidation opportunities. These are small neighborhood acquisitions. This is nothing spectacular. But in general, we are focused on organic growth projects. The profitability expressed in multiples of EBITDA of organic growth projects tends to be better than acquisitions. So I caution about acquisitions because we are very disciplined as regard to price. And although the commodity prices have come down substantially, the acquisition company values or expectations by sellers are coming down a little slower. We, on the other hand, have a list of very impressive organic growth projects which we prioritize, one of which we have mentioned yesterday in a release, and that relates to lithium. That is not a diversification in a way, because we always have announced that we have lithium in our mining resource in Brazil. But the lithium price world, which is very strong, is encouraging us to activate developments in this area.
Okay. Thank you.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1. Ladies and gentlemen, as a final reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1. We will now take our next question from Koost Sandersloos of Kempen. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Two questions, if I may. First one on the engineering EBITDA, which is slightly lower than the previous quarters. I was wondering what was driving this effect and what can we expect going forward, because I also noticed that the order intake is slightly lower than previous quarters. And then the second question on the lithium project. Can you give some more details of this this project, especially what sort of capex you're thinking about and what sort of EBITDA should we expect from this project? And lastly, what about the timing of this project? Is this something which will be done in 2016, or is it more longer term incentive?
I'll start with the engineering EBITDA and the bookings. We have a very strict definition of order intake for engineering. In other words, we do not book an order until we get cash in the door. The fourth quarter, as you can see by the comparison to the previous year's fourth quarter, is always a little bit slow on that regard. So we don't regard the book-to-bill ratio of being below one as anything indicative of 2016. We think it's going to continue to be strong. I would also point out that the full year bookings are 10% higher than 2014.
As regard to the lithium project, three things. One, we have worded our press release very, very precisely to say only things which are factual. Second, the fact is that we have commenced basic engineering and feasibility study work with renowned engineering companies in this field. The CapEx and EBITDA levels are subject of those studies, and prior to completion of those studies, we are very hesitant to speculate. Three, as regard to timing, you can expect that we approach decision-making stage towards the end of 2016. Finally, a general remark, the attractiveness of that strategic project is enhanced by the fact, or substantially enhanced by the fact, that our raw material costs of the lithium resource is zero or close to it, because the costs of that resource are being carried by the tantalum mining production. We are mining here not in some form of deep mining. We have a tailings pond, a tailings dam, and there is a large amount of lithium there, and that is ready to be processed. In natural resources, you find, in general, across the board, that the raw material costs exceed 50%, as we do not have such costs in this case. We are optimistic as regard to the basic economics of this undertaking.
Okay, that's clear.
We will now take our follow-up question from Philip Ngoto of AMB Amro. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. One follow-up question. On the new field plants, just wondering if you could give an update on how the discussions with the Department of Environmental Protection are going. In the annual report in 2014, you wrote that the negotiations started January last year. You already provisioned for nearly 20 million, and there's an additional provision now. You also mentioned that you expect the cost out or the cash outs to occur over the next 5 years. Could you give an update on that, on where we stand at the moment and what you expect in terms of cash as well, and possibly maybe further provisions or what the stance is from the environmental department?
There is nothing to report about these discussions. They are going its way, and we would expect that our provision is a conservative balance sheet position.
Okay, but the view of the cash out will occur over the next 5 years, that hasn't changed, so you still expect some cash outs the coming 5 years? I mean, the way the same what you reported in the annual report.
There's nothing new to report. We expect the 5 years as a tentative figure. It can be longer, and that will be the cash out. So provision divided by five would be a conservative statement per annum.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will pause for just a moment for any final questions. As there are no further questions, I would like to turn the call back to Steve Daniels for any additional or closing remarks. Over to you, sir.
No closing remarks from us. Thank you very much, everyone, for your attendance. We look forward to speaking with you again to discuss the Q1 2016 earnings in May. Thank you.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.